wait. Once we set sail, it'll be great. Don't ever forget, wherever you go, I'm always with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Landy Lodge. We are talking about none other than the great nominee herself today. Very excited to get into today's episode. But before I continue any further, let's give a lot of love and a shout out to these beautiful sages of the lodge, the names you see up on your screen, who throw a little support my way to keep my nonsense going. But anyway, today's episode, we're going to talk nominee. I want to talk a little bit about her place in the Dark Seeker saga, Chain of Memories of it all, Kingdom Hearts 2 of it all. But primarily what I want to discuss today is actually Naminé's future, because I think, while I believe Naminé is one of the best written one of the better written characters in the Kingdom Hearts series, a lot of what's written for her really acts as backstory. Like, Naminé's arc really hasn't taken off yet. And I want to get into that a little bit. But before I do, we do have a birthday in the chat. Melody of Time says an episode on one of my favorite Kingdom Hearts characters on my birthday. What a special gift. If we could get some love in the chat, both on YouTube and Twitch, for Melody of Time, wish them a very happy birthday. And yeah, that'll be fun. We're going to talk a little nominee. So to get us started, let's just dive right into it. So when I talk about, give me one second. Let me just fix this up real quick. There we go. So when I talk about Naminé's arc through the Dark Seeker saga, while it was a joy to watch in many ways, it was a very subtle arc. It was a very soft arc. But nonetheless, there is a change in Naminé's character and her demeanor from when she was first introduced in Chain of Memories to how we find her here in Kingdom Hearts 3. So, Kingdom Hearts 3 Remind, just to be specific. So, you know, when we first discover Naminé in Chain of Memories, she's got a very gloomy vibe about her. You know what I mean? She's under the thumb of Marluxia and Larxene and the whole organization. She's just a pawn. It's very interesting, right? Because so much of Chain of Memories is about making, like, the perfect puppet, whether it's Replicu or whether it's the organization's intentions for Sora, and you see this carry over into Days as well. There's so much about wanting to have a puppet, be it Sora, Replicu, but one of the darker aspects of Chain of Memories is that Naminé is a puppet completely against her will. You know, they're trying to create a puppet devoid of will. Sometimes it can be even harsher to look at someone like Naminé, who does have a will and whose strings are really being pulled against that said will. And to be introduced to a character like that, a character that's in conflict with their agency right out from the start, I think that's why Naminé is so beloved among the fan base, because it's so easy to sympathize with her in everything that's going on. However, with that said, with everything that transpires in Chain of Memories, with everything that transpires in Kingdom Hearts 2, Naminé comes out the other end like a soldier in the battle. You know what I'm saying? Like, Naminé comes out the other end, like, again, more composed, a little more head in the game, knows how to use her powers to her advantage and to the advantage of the Guardians. And we're definitely, definitely going to talk about that today, because I think her role in Kingdom Hearts 3, more often than not, does get relatively overlooked. And it's something that I do want to discuss a little bit. But again, just wanted to start off kind of talking about her transformation through the Dark Seeker Saga, even though she was never really a main player. In fact, I think Naminé is a textbook example of how to write a really good side character. One that isn't going to be, you know, in video game terms, playable. One that isn't going to be in a final battle or in a final struggle like that. But one that exists in the background and has their influence behind the scenes, right? And again, Kingdom Hearts 3, perfect, perfect example of that. All right. Let's go over a little bit of what happens with her moving through the Dark Seeker Saga. Again, like we discussed, she's really like a puppet being pulled against her will. You know, and she's put in a tough situation, right? Because, you know, she wants to help Sora, but she also wants to help herself, right? There's a little bit of self-interest that she's in conflict with. And that's what the organization tries to manipulate, right? Her desire to be real, her desire to be real in Sora's heart. Like, there is a little bit of self-interest that Naminé has that she's in conflict with. And that's, again, something that's really cool about her character that, again, makes it very easy to sympathize with her in Chain of Memories. Now, let's move a little through here. Larxene especially was like ruthless to her. Like, I say it all the time, Chain of Memories is just like child abuse the game. It's a bunch of adults literally abusing these children. I think it's honestly the darkest game in all of Kingdom Hearts. If you were to ask me what the darkest Kingdom Hearts game is, I think Chain of Memories is a runaway winner. Like, straight, yeah, literally just smacking children. Will Riku and Naminé end up together in the end? I don't know. That's a little ambiguous. Right? Let's go to that, I guess, for a second since I ended up reading it. Like, you have this moment, right? But it's not clear whether this is anything romantic or if this is Riku kind of honoring Replicu's feelings. You know, because that was Riku's story in Kingdom Hearts 3, was really making peace with that part of himself. And going to Naminé in the end like this was really kind of bringing all that full circle. So it's very ambiguous. So I don't know if it's anything worth putting stock in. We're just going to have to wait to see how that transpires. But anyway, getting back to Chain of Memories. So again, that sort of conflict with her persists throughout the game. And what's funny is we even get to the end, right? And in the end, Naminé does offer you the option to like stay with her and not restore your memories. But again, a big part of Kingdom Hearts is these characters making sacrifices. And Naminé makes a sacrifice in both Chain of Memories and Kingdom Hearts 2. And I think that's what a big part of this thank Naminé thing is about. Which again, that is a huge plot thread that has been left open and is unresolved. They even blatantly made sure to bring that home in Kingdom Hearts 3. But again, Naminé is an example of a character who makes this sacrifice, right? In Chain of Memories, she sacrifices her ability to be real to restore Sora. Right, when we get to the scene at the end, she puts him to sleep to restore his memories. That is, in a sense, in a sacrifice to her own existence. Burning Baboon says, I really appreciate Chain of Memories voice acting and cutscene after having played Game Boy Advance first. Really fleshed out Naminé as a character and helped connecting with her. Yeah, voice acting is always going to help. And, you know, facial expressions, things like that, they go a long way. And as someone who played the Game Boy Advance version first, it's hard to go back. I only play the PS2 version now. Yo, shout out to the Snake Boy who just threw us a Prime subscription on Twitch. Thank you, dude. Thank you, dude. Miss Blue says, I'm never going to get over her little flinch when Sora chooses to restore his memories. My heart. Yeah. You could tell there was a part of her that was hoping he would choose the illusion over reality. And that has massive implications when it comes to Quadratum and everything going on right now. Excuse me. But anyway, as we know, she makes that sacrifice in Chain of Memories. And then if we just move along a little further into Kingdom Hearts 2, she's really operating the same way. Like, she's willing to collaborate with Diz, who sees her as something just inhuman, right? In order to help Sora, Riku, Roxas, right? Naminé, again, is just willing to be treated like absolute garbage in order to help these people that she cares about. Haven't been here in a while. Glad I'm back, though, to Snake Boy. Listen, we'll always be here when you're ready for us. We'll always be here when you need us. Hope you've been good in the interim. Lodge is always looking out. Kevin Ribeiro says, I love Naminé with all my heart. She's always fixing crap like she's the fairy godmother. Dude, for real, that's the thing about Naminé is she's always working to restore something that was lost. She's always working to help the Guardians in any way that she can. Again, she's always at work. Okay. So again, with the Kingdom Hearts 2 of it all, you know, because I said I did want to talk about her future more than her past. This is Riku Chain of Memories. And this scene I love so much. This line of hers where she's like, I wanted to meet you at least once. And I love this so much, right? Because when you think about the Kingdom Hearts series and its themes and the symbolism, you know, Naminé at this point in the story knows better than anybody what it's like to be treated as inhuman, what it's like to be treated like you don't have a heart, what it's like to be taken advantage of, lied to, illusions built up around you. The only character of the series that could truly understand Roxas at this point is Naminé. And to Naminé's credit, she sees, just like Sora, right? She sees the heart in Roxas. And just this idea of like, I wanted to meet you at least once. You know, in a sense, she knows where this is going. She knows how this is going to end. And before it's all over and Naminé goes back to Kairi and Roxas goes back to Sora, Naminé just wanted to meet him once. And what's crazy is, with everything Roxas dealt with in Twilight Town, this is the only real interaction he really has. Yes, it's the real Axel. Yes, it's the real Diz. But they're remembering a Roxas that doesn't remember himself. In a sense, this Naminé sees the heart in this sort of blank slate Roxas. In this sort of illusory Truman Show-esque Roxas. Naminé is basically a benevolent witch. Not quite the Snake Boy. We were talking about it earlier. Like, in Chain of Memories, even though she's always doing what's right, you could tell she's always in conflict with her own self-interest, her desire to be real, her desire for Sora to believe the illusion. But at the end of the day, her actions are benevolent. But her heart has conflict. Which again, makes her totally relatable. So again, this is just a line that every time I play Kingdom Hearts 2, and I probably played it like 27 times, always gives me chills. Always. Moving on. So of course, Naminé is pretty straightforward in Kingdom Hearts 2. Like, Chain of Memories pretty much lays out what she's going to be doing, especially when you get to the Riku side of it. This is where she sort of lays everything out. Oh, this is another great scene, too. I'm just going to play it. Shion asks Naminé to meet Roxas Watch after. That's true. In 358 over 2 days. That's basically what Shion and Naminé's meeting was about. So that is true that to Naminé, like, she got to see who Roxas was through Shion's eyes. And when you know how much Shion adores Roxas, it sort of explains why she was so eager to meet him. SMH, you are back again. Here, again, I don't have much to dissect from this scene. I just think it's one of the better scenes in Kingdom Hearts 2, so I just want to play it.
No, you won't disappear. You'll...
Wait.
Roxas, we will meet again. And then we can talk about everything. I may not know it's you, and you may not know it's me. But we will meet again. Someday soon. I promise.
Let her go. Naminé!
I love that so much because it sets up the ending of Kingdom Hearts 2 so well, right? Right, and then you see Kingdom Hearts 2 end like this. Look at me catching your streams. Yeah, look at you, SMH. Again, I won't know it's you. You won't know it's me. You know, it's just so beautifully set up. It's just like, that's one of the things that makes Naminé such a good character is just whenever she's involved, the stakes are higher. And you care more about it. She fixes problems. She plugs up plot holes that I wouldn't call them plot holes. It's just information the audience isn't aware of yet. And Naminé, in so many ways, is a vessel to deliver that information. And then, yeah, there's this here too, where they sort of recount it. Which I love. Again, Kingdom Hearts 2, such a legendary game. Such an absolutely legendary game. And I love this sort of like translucent, transparent shot of the two of them. Hi, Timura says, finally caught on the stream and one of my faves. Love, Naminé. Look, she's a fan favorite for a reason, dude. We will be together every day. Didn't age well. But it did, though, because now they're their own people. In the context of Sora and Kairi being together, you're right. But in the context of like present day, they're both their actual people. Is Naminé Kairi's nobody? Yes. Okay. Let's move forward a little bit. Of course, this is her involvement in Days. Which again, this is where Shion kind of lets her in the loop about Roxas.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I also know that Roxas should be going back with me. But I don't think he would understand.
And what's cool about this is this shows you how Naminé got the sort of context to understand her relationship to Kairi. Because when she learns the relationship Roxas and Shion have to Sora, it allows her to better understand her relationship to Kairi and how all of that works. So I absolutely love that.
Not yet. I know. Roxas can't feel Sora just yet. Naminé, Will you please watch over Roxas once I'm gone? You won't be alone. I asked someone else, too. They're just...
And that's so cool, because the other person she asked was Riku, and now we know there's this paradigm between Riku and Naminé, but, like, there's layers to it, man. You have the Replicu Naminé paradigm, you've got Shion asking Riku and Naminé to watch over Roxas, and then you have the whole thing in Kingdom Hearts 3 with Replicu and him trying to make peace by giving him the giving Riku the replica to bring Naminé back. Like, man, there is layers.
Isn't anything else I can do? All right. Thank you. Well, if you're ready.
All righty, moving on. Let's get to the KH3 of it all. Kingdom Hearts is like ogres. They have layers. Well, cakes have layers. Okay, this scene. So, there's something I want to do here. Let me pull this up here. And this here. Perfect. Perfect. So, this is a part of Kingdom Hearts 3 I think some people found confusing. And, you know, if you're a more casual Kingdom Hearts fan or you've only played KH3 a couple of times, completely understandable. But the next two scenes we're going to watch, it's very important to remember that chronologically, they really happen, like, right on top of each other. Let's get into it, because I think there's also some cool stuff we could pull apart.
Sora?
Yes?
It's me, Naminé.
Naminé?
I'm so glad that you managed to hold on to who you are.
Why are you here?
I was in Kairi's heart, but then we were struck by a powerful darkness, and I woke up here.
You know, that's interesting, right? Because we know Kairi was able to keep herself together in some way, but we know that, like, her heart was dismantled. Kobe! Kobe!
My dog's barking.
My dog's barking. Kobe, leave it!
Oh, we'll let him have his day.
And Kairi?
I can feel her heart.
Okay, so that's interesting, right? She can... Kairi's heart maintained itself, but Naminé was released? Does Naminé have her own soul too? Absolutely. Absolutely.
She's fighting with all her strength to keep you from fading away.
Kobe!
Just mute myself while the scene plays.
So, the reason I retained my form in this place...
It's because she's holding you together.
Which, again, that just shows you the foundation of the Guardians' comeback in Kingdom Hearts 3 was Kairi holding Sora together. What I am a little curious about, and chat, I wonder what your take on it is, why is it that Kairi was able to keep her heart together in some way, but Naminé was released...
Something to think about.
Go to her.
I'm trying, but what about you?
Okay, Silver Dash says it could be her princess of heart power in action. I would say so. I would say so.
I can't just leave you stuck here.
It's okay, really.
And again, there's her nature again, being self-sacrificing, willing to put herself in a difficult situation for others' benefit. Whether it be Chain of Memories restoring Sora's memory, whether it be Kingdom Hearts 2, letting Kairi and Sora be restored and her going into Kairi's heart along with Roxas. And here we have her again, operating in a similar function.
Kairi is where I came from. So once she's safe again, Kairi is where I'll return.
Naminé, I know that I'm supposed to thank you.
This is also another thing we're going to get into. Just keep in mind for when we get towards the end of the podcast that This whole thank Naminé subplot is yet to be complete, and I think there's a very good reason for it.
The datascape doesn't count. I need to say the words myself.
Keep that in mind.
But not like this. You and Roxas can't tell me you're okay with this. I know how much you're hurting.
And I love that. Very key point. Again, the power of Naminé when she's involved.
I felt that pain through Roxas.
He's the one they all miss. It's not me.
Wrong. What about me? Kyrie, Donald, Goofy, the King. Roxas, too, he misses you. And someone else special I know won't let you down.
Sora, thank you.
Well, then I'm gonna go save Kyrie, so at least you'll be free of this place. Okay?
Oh, wait.
Huh?
While sifting through memories,
So, keep this in mind, right? This is connected directly to this scene here. Essentially, what Naminé explained to us in base Kingdom Hearts 3 is what happened here.
I spoke to Terra, the Keyblade wielder you've been looking for. He has a strong will, and it keeps him tethered to the Realm of Light. I'll try tracing that connection.
And that's where Sora gets the idea in Remind, right? Where he goes to trace the connection. This is, Naminé said it before he did. So the way Naminé contacted Terra is what inspired Sora to reach the Guardians in Remind. Again, this is what I mean about Naminé. Gonna keep it going.
Maybe that'll be enough to tip the scales in the other direction.
Huh?
Let's just say I've got your back.
That part of you? It reminds me of Kyrie. Thanks, Naminé. Oh! That's not the official thank you.
Just wanted to remind you, right? Just keep in mind, Kingdom Hearts is deliberately reminding you this thank you, Naminé subplot is still going.
Uh-huh.
Well, see ya.
Be careful.
Okay, now let's move to this scene. Because again, these two scenes, in a sense, are connected. And chronologically speaking, they happen pretty close to each other.
Did I pass through the tear? Oh.
Sora?
Naminé?
Let me pause it right here.
What are you...
Let me pause it right here. There was something we talked about earlier in the podcast, right when we started. Just keep in mind how much we've seen Naminé transform, where she felt like a puppet whose strings were being pulled by Marluxia, Larxene, and the like. And now, like, she's the one behind the curtain moving things around, pulling strings, not like in a controlling manner in the way a villain would, but like she's contacting Terra. She's reaching Sora in the final world. So like, instead of just being this puppet being pulled against her will, she's now taking action. She's trying to help. She's in the fight. You know what I mean? And you could just see that again. These are obviously two cherry-picked images, but again, it reinforces the sort of transformation we see this character go under. And again, it's a very subtle arc. It's a very minor arc. But again, what I'm getting at here is the entire Darkseeker saga, the way Naminé is written, dude, this is all backstory. The way Naminé is written is they've just given her a backstory, right? It's not a traditional arc in the way we see Sora or Aqua and Honest or even Kyrie. Kyrie, in my opinion, has a much stronger arc than Naminé does in the Darkseeker saga. However, the point of Naminé in the Dark Seeker Saga, to me, it doesn't appear that it's about giving her an arc, a full-blown character arc in the way we saw Roxas, Aqua, Sora, Riku. It really feels like setup. It really feels like they've given her this big backstory that now they'll be able to launch. That's why the Thank Naminé subplot is still lingering. You know, that's why she only just got her body. You know what I mean? She only just got her official body at the end of Kingdom Hearts 3. It appears to me Naminé is just getting started. But I don't think she'll ever be a major character. But I think she's one of the characters that will have a role in the Darkseeker Saga. But anyway, let's get back to this scene, because I think it is cool to watch these two scenes on top of each other.
What are you doing here? Have you lost yourself like I did?
Well, it's a long story. But tell me, why haven't you returned to Kairi's heart yet?
He is their 13th.
Today is the day you all lose.
What?
Before you even face the 13, every last one of you will be torn heart from body. But fear not. The Keyblade will still be forged.
King Vash says, would you say she's a navigator? Oh, we're going to talk about that. King Vash, we're going to talk about that.
Because I'm still not able to. But I'm calling out to Terra's heart, and I brought him here.
Terra?
No. Terra's heart is too steeped in darkness. Instead, I've brought out Terra's most personal and powerful thoughts.
So, think about that kind of power, right? Think about that kind of power that she just sort of demonstrated, right? Oh, his heart is too steeped in darkness, but she can pull the best out of his mind, right? It appears as though Naminé isn't just about memory. She might have a way to manipulate the minds of others, not just the memory.
This is Terra's sadness, anger, lament.
Terra's thoughts? We're not gonna lose to you.
And that's what Remind was really good about, giving the player more context. Because now when you string all that together, it improves this scene so much. Because we see all the Guardians there, right? But what we never knew was that Naminé was behind the Guardians, bringing Terra back so that they could win this second chance. Without Naminé bringing in Lingering Will, they do not win this fight. It doesn't care. I mean, it doesn't matter that Sora changed fate and brought the Guardians back. If Naminé doesn't bring in this Lingering Will, they still lose.
Who are you?
Got you, Xehanort.
Terra?
This is impossible.
I've waited for this moment.
I keep going, but the Naminé of it all is all wrapped up. As far as that scene goes. Okay, as far as Remind goes, that pretty much wraps it up for Naminé. Let's get back over here. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about Naminé's future. Oh, wrong way. Wrong way. Say Adventus. Okay. So there's another thread that's been set up by the series that I think is worth exploring. Naminé and Ansem the Wise, which again, let's actually pull this up. Let's pull this up. Right, Kate, keep in mind that Naminé gets her body. She wakes up to these crazy dudes. But there's somebody who owes Naminé a big apology. They exactly, Dawnwing. Ansem the Wise owes her a personal apology. I think there's a potential plot thread here. And again, we've talked about it on the Lodge a lot. But I'm going to bring it up again. I would love to see her connected to Ansem the Wise in this next arc. And Ansem the Wise kind of redeeming himself by maybe taking her under his wing, getting her involved with the science of it all. Maybe instead of that white dress, now she's got a lab coat and a clipboard, whatever it's got to be. But I think there's something with these two characters that you could really get into in the next arc. Because again, Ansem, you could argue that in Kingdom Hearts 3, he atoned for his sins. But if there's anything he still needs to atone for or needs to atone for further, it's Naminé. So I would like to see these two get involved and sort of Ansem the Wise, maybe take her under his wing, something along those lines. Because, and again, this is something that has been discussed on this channel that I think is worth talking about. You know what? We're going to do a poll. We're going to do a poll. Oops. We're going to do a poll. I want to know what you guys think. Should Naminé get a Keyblade? Now, if you've been around the Lodge, you guys know how I feel about this, and we'll get into it. But just so I'm not only repeating myself, I would like to hear what you guys think in the chat. I'm going to make the poll over on Twitch too. Okay. So I see we've got number of votes in already. We got 85% say no, 15% say yes. If you believe Naminé should get a Keyblade, I want to hear from you. Because I'll tell you how I feel just very briefly. I think the most interesting parts of Naminé's character and the most interesting parts of her powers are more interesting than just giving her a Keyblade. I think if you give Naminé a Keyblade, it makes her just like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I think she's more interesting than that. I'm not saying she can't be a fighter. I'm not saying she can't get involved in the combat. But what I am saying is, I don't think giving her a Keyblade is the answer. I don't see the poll, but no Keyblade. Check the top of the chat window. It should be there. I'd be curious in seeing the design, but yeah, for story reasons, nah, that's where I am. Because again, she's a very interesting character. She should be the girl in the chair? What does that mean? You can get the combat without having a Keyblade. Literally, the organization and Final Fantasy characters proves that you don't need a Keyblade to prove your strength in combat. Yeah, let her be a mage. Let her be a mage. All of Twitch seems to be saying no. Yep. So yeah, you know, I think the future of Naminé's character is too interesting to just derail her into having a Keyblade. Because again, we have this plot thread, which I think is interesting, don't get me wrong. But let's take it a step further.
That's why... Ooh.
Excuse me. And we'll come back to the Keyblade. Like, I'll come back to the poll. If you think she should have a Keyblade, I do want to hear from you still.
When everyone is super, no one will be.
But anyway, so I've done a theory about this. But I think there's a lot of truth to it. I think Naminé is the one who's going to bring Sora home. I think Naminé brings Sora home. And I think that's when he says thank you. I think something with Naminé and her powers, with memory, and the ability to draw out one's mind, one's thoughts. I think she's going to be the one to bring Sora home. I think she's the one. I think that's what the future of her story really could hold. I think if you combine the future of her story with something involving Ants and the Wise and the Radiant Garden Gang, and then you couple it with her using her powers and her unique powers at that to bring Sora home so that Sora can give her that official thank you as a consequence of coming home, come on. It would just be perfect. That would make the thank you hit harder. It would be so beautiful. Because it wouldn't be that, like, you're thanking Naminé for one thing. You're thanking her for literally being one of the best friends that you could have. You know? It would be a very loaded thank you. Okay. She could be the one to reunite the key characters to remember each other. Yes. Yes! That's the other thing. We've got a pesky little Ventus who doesn't have these memories, and he's probably going to get them back somehow. And I think Naminé will be right at the center of that. It should feel like he's saying, Naminé, thank you for everything. Wouldn't it be great if he said it just like that too? If he said, thanks, Naminé, for everything. That would be awesome. Okay. All right. I went through my waters rather quickly. So hang tight. We're going to take a quick little break. When we get back from that break, we're going to keep going on Naminé. Feel free to keep sharing your thoughts in the chat. I want to hear from you. But we'll be right back.
Woo!
Okay, we are back. Thank you for hanging, everybody. Appreciate you waiting that out. Okay. I think Seven Hearts explained a reason for it. Here she goes. Here they go. So I think it's going to come full circle, as we have now two characters that look like Noctis and two characters that look like Stella. And so it makes sense for her to eventually get a Keyblade because of that. But she doesn't necessarily need one. She can also have a rapier similar to Stella instead of an actual Keyblade. Yeah, that would make it kind of similar to Marluxia too. Let's see. It would be nice for Roxas, Shion, and Naminé to have to do something together in order to save Sora. They are so uniquely a part of him, and that trio has history, but never together. Yeah, Roxas, Shion, Naminé, that does sound fun. Ryan Williams says, my big thing is, who is Naminé really? Obviously, Kairi's nobody, as we are told, but they don't look alike. Similar to Sora and Roxas, who is heavily influenced by Ventus. So who is Naminé influenced by? So, Ryan Williams, I'm glad you brought that up. It's unsettled, but the explanation I usually see is because Ventus was in Sora's heart. That's why Naminé has the blonde hair. I don't buy it. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. Wouldn't be anything new. But I don't buy it. I think it's because maybe Ava is in Kairi's heart. And Ava will have blonde hair. That's what I think. I think the reason Naminé's hair is blonde might be because maybe Ava's hiding out in Kairi's heart. That's my guess. And I don't have much to back it up, other than the fact Ava and Kairi can be similar in some senses, and that we don't know Ava's hair color. So I'll leave it at that. Omelette Street asks, has there been an interview by Nomura about why Naminé's hair is blonde? To my knowledge, no. If there is an interview like that out there, I would love if somebody brought it to my attention. I'm definitely behind Ava being Naminé's appearance, considering how similar Ava's powers and poses are to Naminé. Poses. Make poses with me. Here's a question. Who do you think gave Naminé her name? Ooh. That is a really good question. Ryan Williams says, OMG, thank you for reading my comment. Dude, no worries. That's what we do here. Longtime listener and fan. Well, thanks for tuning in, brother. Love to have you here. Okay. Definitely, in my opinion, Ava, Kairi, and Naminé are connected. I wonder if Naminé is connected to Ava and Shion is connected to Skuld. What if there's some real 4D chess going on here? Right? What if there's some real 4D chess going on here that Roxas, Shion, and Naminé have almost become these inadvertent copies of Ava, Skuld, and Ventus? You know what I mean? It's almost like Roxas, Shion, and Naminé potentially could be recreations of Naminé, Skuld, and Ventus. Inconclusive. Just throwing it out there. I wonder what Naminé means in Latin. I think the Nami and Naminé refers to water. She is uniquely named with that accent. Yeah, no one else really has that accent going on. So that is pretty interesting. Naminé with a Keyblade would look great, though, to be honest. Of course. Of course. These are Nomura's designs at the end of the day. Huh. It would be hilarious if it was just Vexen who gave Naminé the name. That would. Let's see. Okay. Here we go. Sakura Lily hooking it up. Naminé's name in Japanese meaning Nami, waves, and Ne, which means sound. The sound of the waves. Interesting. The sound of the waves. My guess is Marluxia gave her the name. I could see that. Naminé needs a staff. Yeah, I'd like her to be a mage. I would like her to be a mage. But again, when we look at Naminé, everything building her up to this point, to me, it just seems like backstory. You know, there wasn't a lot of a hero's journey embedded in her story, in her arc. But it seemed like the backstory to the next step. You know what I mean? Establishing her powers, establishing her stakes, establishing her bonds, and that we finish with getting her into a real body for the first time, cementing Ansem the Wise's redemption in a sense. To me, it seems like a backstory setup, and that the, you know, the lingering thank Naminé subplot. Yeah, you know, Deus Deorum, I'd love if Fairy Godmother or Merlin could tutor. Like, I like the idea of Ansem the Wise doing it. But if you got Naminé or Merlin to tutor Naminé, that would be so cool. I would be all about that. I would be all about that, dude. Okay. Let me check my notes. See if I got everything I wanted to discuss today. Yeah, I think so. Okay. Good. Okay, so we can just keep... Okay. Perfect. Sound of the Waves lines up with Kairi washing up ashore in the Destiny Islands. It also works with the message in a bottle of Kingdom Hearts. Oh my god! Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Hold on. Hold on. This might be a really cool detail. Where are you? Where are you? Okay.
You're all still you.
Okay, before this bottle washes ashore. In the realm of darkness, can you hear the sound of the waves in the background when the bottle pulls up? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Hey, let's go home.
Riku, come on. Yeah.
Yeah, you can. You can. So in the Kingdom Hearts 2 ending, as the message in the bottle washes up on shore, you can hear the sound of the waves. And as we know that Naminé and Kairi have kind of unionized at that point, it's sort of like a calling out.
Thinking of you wherever you are. We pray for our sorrows to end. And hope that our hearts will blend.
And again, I gotta cut it so we don't get copyright striked. Although that little sound might hit me. Also, didn't Naminé's fake friendship story with Sora and Riku involve a beach? No, I believe that's true too. The fabricated story. Because it was based on the whole Destiny Islands thing. Huh. At least the waves sound the same. Does he say that? Yeah. That's cool. Join the stream and hope it's going well. Love the discussion. Dark Scatter Gamer, we're glad you're here. But man, does Riku really say that? Let me pull that up on my end over here. Kairi is the sea and Naminé is the waves. Damn, they always pick it up from right here. Every video I find is picking it up from when he picks up the bottle. I'm going to do final boss and ending. Okay, let's pull this up. I'm going to pull this up so you guys can see it. Give me a second. Making it work. Okay. We're going to watch the scene. Because I want to know if they make any sort of nods or mentions of the waves and stuff like that. Okay. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here and there. Give me a second. Okay, here we go. This is where I think it is. Because that would be a really nice touch. That would be a really nice touch to the ending of Kingdom Hearts 2. Dude. Dude, that is such a nice little Easter egg. At least the waves sound the same. Knowing that Nami means wave and the connections between Riku and Naminé's characters. Wow. Maybe that's a coincidence, but I don't think so. Dude, that's a nice touch. You could do a short video on that. I probably will. That one's a bit of a layup. That's a cool touch, dude. That's a cool touch. What does Riku's name represent? Land. Sora's the sky. Kairi's the sea. Riku is the land. Nothing is a coincidence in this series. There are no accidents. Oh man, we already hit an hour. Crazy. Keep it rolling. On the topic of waves in the ocean, in Kingdom Hearts 3, Riku and Replica Riku are both sitting on land by the waves, and the scene where Sora and Kairi are on the tree is the sky and sea. Whoa! You're right! The whole Destiny Island sequence, Riku is on the land by the waves. Sora and Kairi, it's the sky and the sea. Ooh! And waves touch land. Right, yeah, the sea and the sky sort of touch. And the waves are what take the sea onto the land. Ooh. Is Naminé just one of the waves emerging from the sea of Kairi? You know, Shadow Flare, I'm glad you're bringing this up because I always got this vibe but I don't see a lot of people talk about it. You know what? I'm going to put that in the chat. I'm going to make that the next poll. So Shadowflare says Riku was very much in love with Kairi in Kingdom Hearts 1, and he was in the process of accepting that Sora was the one she loves at the start of the game. Do you guys share this opinion? I'm going to make another poll. Did Riku have a crush on Kairi? Because then the whole Naminé thing sort of makes more sense. And the whole Riku falling to darkness makes more sense. Right? Because him sort of being rejected or feeling like he's left out could be what pushed him to the darkness. And we know that is what pushed him to the darkness. It would just create another layer. But I'm curious what you guys think. I don't think Riku was in love with her at all. And you know what? Like, I think that's valid too. I think if anything, it's very subtle. It's not on the nose. It's not heavy-handed. So I wonder what you guys think. Not sure, to be honest. The Snake Boy, that's really where I am about it. Just because they haven't outright said it? But I don't know. KH1 Riku, he does act kind of possessive of Kairi. He does say, like, Kairi, you're the reason I want to be adventurous. You're the reason I've started asking all these questions. So it's very clear Kairi means a lot to him. That or Riku felt left out with their focus on each other? That for sure. Dawnwing, it's that for sure. The question is, did he just feel left out as a friend? Or did he also feel like he was being boxed? Like, yeah, you get it. You get it. I don't think he loved her to the extent Sora does, you know. I think both can be true. I think both can be true. I think he can not have loved her to the extent Sora does, but simultaneously still have had a crush on her. I don't know. I am with you, Marley Mac. I think a jealousy vibe is more than likely where it was coming from. The question is, to what degree was that jealousy? So the poll is at 58% yes, 42% no, which is a pretty good split. It's a pretty good split. I'm tempted to say yes, but I think it was a shallow crush at best. Yeah, Miss Blue, I would agree. I would agree with your assessment. I think it's, like you said, a shallow crush at best. Okay. Riku don't got time for romance. You know, as far as the Dark Seeker saga goes, that is true. It is crazy to think Naminé and Riku were around each other for a full year during Days. Yeah, that is a little crazy to think about. I'll tell you that. It's crazy to think how connected Riku and Naminé are. Like, there's a lot of connections between the two of them. Because a huge focus was on his fear of being replaced, I think. Yeah, being left out. That really was his big fear. Andy says, don't think he did, because when all the Guardians die, Riku was the only one who didn't get emotional like Sora did. Well, yeah, I would imagine by Kingdom Hearts 3, he's over it, you know? At least I would imagine. Yo, okay, the poll is almost split. 52% say yes, 48% say no. That's a good split. That's a good split. All right. But anyway, let's wind it back a little bit. I think the future of Naminé is going to be, honestly, I think she's I think she's going to be a big part of it. You know, I don't think she'll be as big as Kairi or maybe even Aqua. But I think Naminé is going to have a role to play. Oop, wrong way. Miyu says, I know the novels aren't fully canon, but I love the trio between Naminé, Riku, and Axel in the KH2 novel. Yeah. You know, there are a few, you know, there's one thing that novels are really good for. Character interactions. You get some extra character interactions, which are good, you know?
Excuse me.
Yawning. You know, actually, funny little side story. Kind of a wonder this podcast even happened today. At 3 o'clock in the morning, the county which I live in called my wife and I at 3 a.m., set off like an Amber Alert on our phones, then called us to be like, hey, there's a big tornado watch in your area, which my wife and I live in the tropics, so tornadoes are like almost impossible where we live. And we got a big tornado warning at 3 a.m. What's even crazier than that is at 2:45, my dog woke me up and made me take him outside. Like, he was like, dude, take me outside. Dude, take me outside. And he never asks me to take him for a walk at 2:45 in the morning. So I reluctantly got up. I took him for a little walk. We got back. I crawled back into bed. That's when the alert hit. And like 2 minutes later, we got smacked with a storm. It was crazy. So I was up from like 3 to 4 a.m. just making sure everything was safe, you know? But we made it happen. We made it happen. So, anyway, funny little side story. But getting back to the Naminé of it all. I think there's more to her than meets the eye. I think the blonde hair thing could be a connection to Ava. I think the Thank Naminé subplot will result in Naminé playing a big role in bringing Sora home. I think everything with her and Ansem the Wise still needs to resolve itself. I think Ansem the Wise still has to redeem himself and atone. And I also think Naminé is going to be a big part of restoring Ventus's memories too. I know that feeling. A tornado came within 200 yards of my house one time. Dude, it's scary, man. Tornadoes pop up out of nowhere. You don't have much time to prepare. It's crazy. That's kind of interesting. I wonder if dogs naturally can sense changes in weather like that. They can. My dog is very smart. Before storms hit, before it starts raining, he always asks to go outside. It's crazy. But yeah, I think there's a lot going on with Naminé. I think she'll play a big part for Ventus restoring the memories too. I live in Pennsylvania too. It was wild. Yeah. See, it makes sense in Pennsylvania. It doesn't make sense where I live. Dom, what's up, dude? Your dog has the power of prophecy. He does. He does. He's a good boy. He's a good boy. Can you discuss about Vexen's book, The Truth About Naminé? Didn't it really just concern itself with her being Kairi's nobody? Like, I don't think there's too much to it. Sakura Lily. Unless you have something to share. Share your thoughts, Sakura Lily. Because to me, I just chalk that book up to being about her being connected to Kairi. But if you have something else to share. In KH4, do you think Naminé can go to Quadratum? I think in theory, maybe she can. But I don't think she will. Because she's not a Keyblade wielder. She doesn't have any means of defending herself. So I don't see that happening personally. Okay. Take a swig for Naminé. Okay. I also want Naminé to become Radiant Garden's Princess of Heart, as wielding a Keyblade was said to be cheating in regards to prophecy. It would be nice to see Naminé take the role that Kairi let go. But I don't know if Kairi let that role go. Huh. I just think there was a weird emphasis on Naminé in Days, such as Axel's interest when Sykes mentions her, as well as Zigbar's blaze manner in the meeting room that might have to do more than being Kairi's nobody. But I guess that's the thing, right? If Naminé is connected to Ava, it would make sense why Zigbar had an interest, right? Because then that connects back to Ava. I want to see a conversation between Lushu and Naminé. Funny you say that, right as I was getting into that. That's funny. Isn't she still a Princess of Heart? There's got to be something to that. You talk about Kairi? Yeah, I'm pretty sure Kairi is still a Princess of Heart. That's why Xehanort stored her. Brings up my theory that Zigbar might have been the one to name Naminé. I could see it. What's she like in the mangas? I can say in the 358 over 2 days manga, she's pretty much the same. Like, she has more character interactions, but she's pretty much the same. I don't know. Lushu definitely knows who Naminé is. I feel like anyone with the Book of Prophecies is going to know who Naminé is. At least I would think so. Okay. Well, look, I got to everything I wanted to get to today. So I'm pretty much all good here. I'm going to get ready to wrap this up. I do love Naminé. I think while she is very important to the story, there's not a lot of mystery in her past. A lot of the mystery is going to come to us in the future. She's, in my opinion, textbook example of how to write a good side character, how to make a good side character interesting, how to create a character who doesn't have the advantages as the other heroes in being a Keyblade wielder, but still making her a good player, still giving her a lot of influence, a lot of power. But yeah, always wonder if there's going to be a connection between her and Luna Freya. I don't see it. She was only born yesterday. I mean, pretty much, right? That's why I think so much of what goes on with her is backstory. All right. But with that said, I know this is a bit of a shorter one. But again, with, you know, being up since 3 o'clock in the morning and the storm rush and everything, your boy could use a nice little nap or an early night. So we're gonna wrap it up here. What? They're twins. I know. I don't think she has them connected. But you know what? I'll tell you this. I would love to be wrong. Kairi's one of my favorites, but Naminé is definitely a close second. Kairi's one of my favorites too. She really is. I'm excited to see the future of that. But yeah, let's wrap this up here. If you're hanging out with us on Twitch, we're going to raid Sid Lexia. So all aboard the raid train over on Twitch. Thanks for hanging out again, everybody. I know this was a shorter one, but don't worry. I got a lot of cool videos dropping this week. I got a Master of Masters video dropping this week. So be on the lookout for that. Your boy's going to turn it in right now. Thanks for hanging out. You guys are all awesome. Love hanging out with you in these streams. New episode coming later this week. New videos dropping this week. You guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Be easy. Be good. And I'll talk to you later.